Weddings. Who doesn't love a good wedding? Well, that depends on who you talk to, right? There's all kinds of wedding stories. And we'll get into some of those stories today. But there's no event in a family's life that can be more important than a wedding, where partners or couples come before their community of faith or their family and pledge their love before God. There can be no moment in a family's life that's more emotionally charged than a wedding. That moment, that day is filled with excitement and joy. And if you're a parent on a wedding day, that could be a time of mixed emotions, both excitement and worry. And if you're a good friend of the couple, perhaps you're proud, or maybe you're a little bit worried and nervous. And of course, if you're the couple coming forward, hopefully you are filled with a sense of joy and anticipation, but certainly a sense of nervousness. And of course, there's a lot that goes into preparations for a wedding, right? Planning a year, maybe 2 years in advance, who knows? Depends how long it takes for the wedding hall to be booked, years in advance. You have to make arrangements with the flowers. You have to meet with the pastor. You have to navigate with the family who's going to be on the invitation list and where will they be seated. And you have to meet with the organist to go over the music. It's very time consuming. Weddings can be important because everyone comes often from miles around. They come from all over to celebrate that one moment in a family's life. And every family has their own traditions about weddings. I'm sure you have your own family traditions that you recall at weddings. Some of them are really cool, and some are a bit strange. So when my brother got married to a farm girl from Northwest Ohio, the tradition in that family was that if there was an older brother who was not married, who was still single at the time of the wedding, then during the reception, the family brought out into the middle of the floor a pig trough, and the older brother was to dance around the pig trough until the music stopped. Okay. He had a great time doing it. When I served with the ELCA in Cairo, Egypt, with my family, we lived in an apartment above a street that we learned very quickly was Wedding Processional Central, because just about every Thursday night, about the time we were ready to get to go to sleep, the whistle started, the drums started beating, and there was that ululating sound that you hear. And they processed down the middle of the street, making all kinds of noise in preparation for the wedding all night long. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus tells a story about a wedding and a wedding banquet. And it's a parable that he tells, like some of the other parables that we've been hearing the past couple of weeks from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus has been speaking these parables to the crowds and to the religious leaders. And it's this particular parable that gets Jesus in trouble. Because it's after this parable that the Pharisees decide to take counsel against him. Because they thought he was speaking about them. This parable of the wedding banquet is told in both Luke and Matthew. But what's different about Matthew's version is that it has a dark side to it. It's like something out of the Game of Thrones. The king invites everyone to the wedding banquet. And the king is not very happy about who hasn't come and takes matters into his own hands, sending his troops to destroy those who have not come to the gala event, and moves on to check out who has come and how they are dressed, whether appropriately or not, tossing at least one out on his ears. Now, this particular passage from Matthew has been told by the church over and over again throughout the years, and unfortunately, we should know that the passage was often used by the church in their views and their negative views of the Jewish people. For the church often looked at this passage as how the Jewish people were invited by God to be chosen, but ultimately refused to accept Jesus as the Messiah, and therefore were punished. And the early church would say, we know they were because the Romans came in 70 AD, destroyed Jerusalem, and kicked them out. That's an unfortunate way to think about the parable. And I certainly wouldn't want to support such an interpretation. Using some kind of historical event to prove passages in Scripture is a dangerous thing. And we'd be wise not to be so quick to do that. In fact, I don't think God needs us to do that. But I do think that this parable has a lot to say about our own lives, our own faith lives, and how we might be tempted to look at others. Let's go back to weddings, right? So weddings can be joyous events. We talked about this. But weddings can also be those moments that might be painful. What about those broken relationships within a family during a wedding? Right? Weddings are about our hopes and dreams for relationships, commitments. And yet we know all too well that sometimes those committed relationships end up in estrangement, separation, divorce. There could be broken relationships in the family. And as people gather, there could be, for some, a sense of uncomfortableness about being invited or not being invited, about having to see someone you may not want to see in the family. These things are all too real, aren't they? Which makes weddings all the more emotionally charged. Let's be honest. Weddings can be great, fun, enjoying times, but they can also provoke the reality of estrangement in relationships. That's why in the Lutheran Rite of Marriage, in the old LBW, I don't know if some of you remember the Green Book, or even before that the Red Book, or even before that the Black Book. There used to be an invitation in the beginning of the Lutheran Rite of Marriage that is very important. And at least every wedding I've done in meeting with a couple beforehand, and other colleagues of mine, when they met with couples to go over the rite, inevitably the couple, the partners, would always ask, can we take that out? Because it's really kind of a downer. And ultimately, it was taken out of the ELW. But let me read for you what this invitation in the previous rite said. Maybe you remember this. The Lord God, in God's goodness, created us, and by the gift of marriage, created human community in a joy that begins now and is brought to perfection in the life to come. Because of sin, our age-old rebellion, the gladness of marriage can be overcast, and the gift of family can become a burden. But because God continues still to bless relationships with God's abundant and ever-present support, we can be sustained in our weariness and have our joy restored. That's an important comment, and I think speaks to this parable today about the wedding banquet. That we come forward with all kinds of hopes and desires and dreams for our relationships and our faith. And yet we know the reality that sometimes it doesn't work out the way we want or hope. And yet, But God continues to make the invitation. God continues to call us to God's banquet. And that's why in both the version in Luke and in the version in Matthew today, those who are invited are the good and the bad. Everyone together. In God's eyes, there's not one of us who ends up on the right side of the aisle at the wedding, and others who might be on the wrong side, or even perhaps left out and not invited altogether. Because of our own nature, if we're honest with ourselves, we'll want to make sure that we are the ones who are invited, that we are the ones who come forward, and that we are the ones to whom God loves. But the issues, the invitations to the banquet comes to the good and the bad. The bottom line is none of us are worthy of the invitation, right? That's precisely why in all these versions, God goes out and collects all those from the highways and the byways, those who aren't invited by others, the good and the bad. And that is why we rely on the generosity of this king who offers a banquet for us again and again and again. So the invitation is open. Come to God's banquet. Amen.